look at Joshua a little bit here. When Israel arrived, I'm just going to read this now. This is what's happened 40 years earlier, because they've been wandering for 40 years from getting here. When Israel arrived at the Jordan River in Kadesh Barnea, they were commanded to enter the promised land. These are some things I don't know. Instead, they begged God to allow them to send spies in Canaan to see what the land was like. God granted their request. So 12 spies spent 40 days looking over that land. 10 of those spies came back with a negative report. This is all in like numbers 13 to 5. They told them the glories of Canaan, but the report was based on fear, not faith. They were afraid of the giants who inhabited the land. And the only two spies that came back with a positive report were Caleb and Joshua. And they said, we can take that land. We can take those things. To be perfectly honest with you, I wanted to get into Joshua chapter 5. That's the battle. I don't like nothing before the battle. The battle's okay. And so I wanted to get into that, but for whatever reason, for someone here perhaps, maybe for me for sure, that God has something different and wanted me to do this chapter 1. And I said, there's so much shit going on in there, there's so much history. I don't want to do it. And you ever do that? I don't want to. God worked it out of my heart to do this. I put a lot of time to figure out what was going on here. But anyways, Caleb and Joshua challenged the people 40 years earlier to go forward and to claim the land that they had been given by the Lord. And in chapter 14 of Numbers, the people refused to go forward. They wanted to return to Egypt instead. Because of their refusal to follow him, God by faith, God condemned them to wander in the wilderness for 40 more years until that faithless generation passed. So what he did is he said, okay, anyone 18 years old, and I'm not saying this is an age of accountability or anything like that, but anyone for 18 years old, anyone that's 18 years old or less, they will stay. But for the rest of the people, for the 40 days that those spies spied out, you will now walk in this wilderness for 40 years before you ever go to the promised land, and every single one of you is dead. So yeah, from 18 years old on back, they lived, they had kids, they had this, and all of a sudden we've got hundreds of thousands going into the promised land here. Still, but those the ones that earned them, I would say no telling where they're at, but I got a good idea. Okay, anyways, you ever see the verse Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring or disputing? You ever see that? You ever see that? Pastor says to do application here. Make application. How many have looked at that verse? We see murderers here like crazy in that wilderness morning. How many have looked at that verse and said, God help me to not do that, to apply that to my life, not to complain, not murmur about other people, about myself even. God help me to do that. I've got you living in my life. I've been doing that. Now, it's hard. I complained about the cats getting all of my clothes this morning and nobody up for the cats. So the thing is, apply what you read. And this is what I want to stress here a little bit with Moses here, or even with Joshua, et cetera, et cetera. So anyways, you got the Jordan River. One last little piece of history here. I read about the Jordan River. Let me just read this here. The banks were flooded during the harvest season. They're right there now, this group of people. The crossing of a turbulent river at flood stage would have been difficult. The river was most likely greater than 100 feet wide and greater than 10 feet deep. Now, if it's one person, that's hard enough, but when you've got a whole flock of people, In 1854, an expert swimmer was unable to make it across the river near Jericho because the river was too wide and the current too strong. So this is what we're looking at here today. But the real miracle is not how wide or how deep the riverbed was when Israel crossed the river, but that they crossed the dry riverbed instead. There was no mud or anything in that riverbed when they crossed. So not only was a miracle of separating the water, but all of a sudden the ground was completely dry. And so they marched across the river. They haven't done that yet in Joshua, chapter 1. But they marched across. Now let's read Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. I'm just looking at this clock here. I'm going to finish one way or the other on time, and so if you don't finish, stay tuned. Stay tuned. The book of Joshua, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, what a shame. Moses wandered for 40 years with those bunch of murmurers, and he still can't get into the promised land. He's not going to go. Moses, a servant of the Lord, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came fast that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land, even which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. We can even look at verse 3 here. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So what happened here? I just want to fill you in a little bit on what happened with Moses here. And I've got a little bit of history in regards to that too. Joe, I think I see you back there, and a little bit blurry. I'll hold my glasses like this. I'd like to see the audience. Anyway, look. In case anyone's sleeping, I will wake you up. Israelites, they're out of Egypt now. They just come out of Egypt. We're going back that 40 years. And they've been out about, I would say, 3 days. And all of a sudden, they want water. And so they come to a pond or like a lake. And it's called Marah, M-A-R-A-H. That's exactly where they ended up. And the water is bitter. So God said to them, take a branch and throw it in the water. And so they took a branch, Moses did, and threw it in the water, and the water became sweet, palatable before them to drink. So we see here bitter water, and all of a sudden it becomes sweet. And I looked at that and I said, you know, in God's word, there were really two trees. And with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there was what I would call a deadly tree. You eat of that fruit, you shall spiritually surely die. And that's exactly what happened to them. And what happened, I look at this and I say, that's a tree here. And yet there's another tree in 1 Peter chapter 2, 24 says, it talks about Jesus hanging on the tree. And so you look at these types, we've got deadly water, a branch is thrown in, and the water becomes sweet. Jesus Christ is the branch of Jesse. He also hung on a tree. He was that branch that died for the sins of men and women and saved our soul. Those who've been in the for eternal life. The best of sin. So there's a couple of things. One is bitter, living water, Jesus. So you see, one is poisonous. That's what Adam and Eve did. They took up that tree and they said, boy, you know, she brought the fruit to Adam after Satan. We'll say tempter. The temptation wasn't Satan at all. The temptation was her. Because then look at it, it's good to eat. It's everything that the pastor talks about in flesh. Her flesh wanted to be like God. Adam's flesh wanted to be like God. And so the flesh took her. And as the pastor will say to us in Sunday school over and over and over again, well, to you folks, not to me, because I've got it to go back. He would say, Get rid of your flesh. It is your biggest enemy.
Amen.
Okay, so anyways, that's one complaint. They were complaining, they were thirsty. All of a sudden, they come to a place called Rephidim. This is quite some time after. What happens? The people are murmuring again, and God commands Moses to strike a rock. And we know that that rock is called Miriam's Well. That water came out of that rock for 40 years. Talk about miracles. So anyway, they struck the rock, the water came out, the people are happy just for a little while, but they got plenty of water to drink. And from what I've read in history, they brought that rock with them wherever they wanted. I don't know how big that rock was. Was it a little rock, a big rock, a big boulder? I have no idea. You know, maybe they had heavy equipment back then. But they that water gushed out of that rock for 40 years until Miriam's death. She died almost right before going into the promised land. Just like Moses is going to do the same thing. Aaron, he isn't going to make any promised land either. You see, it's just one thing. They were murmuring, and I'll tell you why, because we're going to get to that. Now we see why Moses couldn't go in. I'm going to read this to you. You don't have to turn there. Numbers 20, verse 8 through 12. Again, before in Kadesh, they're ready to go across that promised land. The spies sent a bad report. We don't want to go. We're going to, so that took care of that. But 40 years earlier, they were here. God said, look at it. The people are murmuring about more water now. The rock is gone. We need something here. And so he said to Moses, anyways, take a rod. And I want you to take the rod with you when you go to the tree. For whatever reason, I do not know. But he said, speak unto the tree and let the water will come up. Speak unto the tree. Well, Moses goes and he goes to this tree. Speak unto the rock and the water will come up. Just speak unto it. Moses goes, looks at the rock and everything, and he looked at the people and were still murmuring like crazy. He got so upset with them that he took that rod and struck that rock twice, saying, must we take water from that rock for you? And he's referring to him and Aaron. Must we get it? God was upset with that. For one reason, he disobeyed God. God said, speak to the rock. He beat the rock twice with that stick. And God said, because of that, you are not going into promised land. You have disobeyed me. And he was also upset because Moses said, must we get the rock, taking glory for himself, to get water out of the rock and move to the gods? So you see that anyway. So God says, so you're not going into land. That was in Numbers chapter 20, verse 6 and 12. Okay? And so they listened to him. And he called them rebels. He called them everything. Let me just say something about the rock. The first rock he smit. Jesus Christ is the rock. Everything is a type of Christ in God's word. And Jesus Christ was smitten for our sins, the sins of man. And I mean all of them. He went to that cross, and his sin, the elect will be saved, but his blood is capable of saving everybody, every Job choose, and he did not. One way or another, you will see that God has an elect people, and he has a people that are unfortunately going to a bad place, but they don't want that anymore. They don't want. Say, well, they go to church and everything, they're worshiping a different God. So that was it. But you can see how God, when he gives a command. Well, anyways, the second rock, he was to speak to that rock. And the thing is, with the second rock, that was important. That was the type of Christ. He was smitten once. Now all one has to do is speak, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins, save my soul. Never to be smitten again. When Moses picked that rock, it was like the God smiting the Son of God again, who is the rock of our salvation. Well, totally incredible, but you can see Christ in all of us. So anyways, the 40 years are past, everything's here, and now we got this time where we're right there at the Jordan River, the banks are overflowed, everything's, it looks like an impossible time. So what that they're going to get through here and go across and fight Jericho, the walls will come down, etc. So I wrote some stuff down here, and in regards to timing, because I think that this is very important for us to know that first of all, God chose the timing when that invasion would take place. Joshua could have got there, and as a leader, he could have said, I want to get there, and let's take Jericho now, let's move out. No, he did. He waited. Joshua says, you know, you're the one that I God sent in, you're the one that I've chosen, and Joshua to make this invasion. And Joshua could have said, saddle up, we're going in. But he did. Joshua was waiting on God. That's what I'm doing. God would be the leader of the whole thing. Well, I wrote some things up, but the timing sometimes doesn't look good. We mentioned that the river's overflowing. Everything's a mess. We've got all these people still there. How are they going to get across, et cetera, et cetera? And it's just quite a time. But he never pushed the schedule, Joshua. He waited on the Lord. You know what? I remember Sunday school here. When was it? No, it was on Wednesday night when someone asked the pastor, what is God's will? I mean, how can we know if we ask for something? How can we know it's his will? You know what he said? Simple. Wait. Just wait. Just wait. That's it. If it's his will, he'll bring it to pass. Okay. And how important that is, especially for an impatient person such as myself, because I don't like to wait. Okay. I like results right away. Tough thing. But so waiting is crucial if you want to serve God. And he'll bring signs, he'll bring other Christians. I believe that that's God's will. I'm talking about God's Christians. Or he'll do other things. But it's his will. You know? So that's the way we got to look at it. It was a time of sorrow. That's a bad time too. Because Moses was dead. They got a new leader now, people. How in the world, most of them just died. And God buried them, the Bible says. Nobody knows his ways. How are we going to get through with all this to people? Listen, sorrow wants to make you give up. It makes me want to give up. It cuts right into your family, yourself. And it wants us to just quit. God said here, do not give up, you're going in. And so with God on our side, you don't. He'll cheer you up. Psalm 30, verse 5. We remain in dirt for night, and joy comes in the morning. Amen. So that's a crucial word. I love this part. The Canaanites are in fear. So even you're going to know everything that's going on anyway before we read part. And so if we read anything, but the Canaanites are in fear. If you read chapter 2, you can see that God put fear in their heart. Boy, that's a wonderful thing, man. If you've got God in, he's going to put the fear of you in your enemy. You're going to win. Now, athletes, you know what they'll say? Now, the pastor would know something about this. And I'm going to give a quote on it, but he would know something about this. And athletes will say this: if you go into the ring and your knees are knocking, you've already lost the battle. That is true. That is true. In the Marine Corps, we have what they call the bungee sticks. You know what those are, anyway. They have big padding on each end of them. They were heavy. And so you had to go and do all these strokes that you learned with your weapon, with your rifle, on your opponent, you know, and one would be let's see, horizontal butt stroke, a slash, where you're going to cut their neck, and a jab, and a vertical butt stroke under the chin. You had to do this with your enemy. They sent me a guy, and the guy is big. I mean, real big. And I go in there with this guy, and you know what I did? First of all, my knees shook. And then I said, I'm not going to be able to beat this guy. You see? And guess what happened? I did. He killed me. And so, that ain't the end. That ain't the end. That ain't the end. And so, anyways, you have to go back again. And this time when I went back in, I was determined. I didn't care who it was. I wasn't going to kick or pound it. You're not supposed to hit the head. You got a helmet on, but they whack you. And I said, I'm not gonna lose this guy. And I went in there for the fight that time. And by God's grace, I beat the guy. And so that was it. So he had to get out of the ring, go someplace else. But you see, God has given them commands. They got new leaders, Jordan and Shmuel Aaron. I asked the pastor one time, I said, you know, when you stood up against someone, did you ever think of losing? I still loved it. Did you ever think of winning or losing? You know, you ever size your opponent? You ever do that? Some of you women have done that, and I don't know who went quite there, but the thing is, sizing your opponent. I said, did you ever do that? And we got to just, no, I never thought about winning or losing, and I'm folding here. I never thought about winning or losing. I just thought about how much I was going to hurt that. This is old cat. Hey, don't look at me. I'm not fighting. Okay, let's see. I wrote some notes here. Let's look at verse 3. We'll go to verse 3. Like this. These are important. These next just few verses. Every place that the sole of your foot, I read that, but shall tread upon, have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. But God's talking to Joshua. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards. So we've got the whole geography here in verse 4. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. God really says, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's what we get Hebrews 13:5. God will never forsake thee. So he says to Joshua, encouragement here. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall have a bite for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers. Only be thou, verse 7, strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou wilt. This book of the law, watch how important it was for them. Shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. One word on that. You want to have success in walking with the Lord, you got to read this book. Got to be in this book, and you've got to not only read it, you've got to apply what it says to your life. New Testament, apply word. Okay. Old Testament, they were under the law, but you learn a lot from that. But the New Testament, prior to Christ, just read it. Apply some stuff to your life. Have not I commanded thee? He says in verse 9, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest, he says. Verse 10, Joshua then comes and he commands the officers of the people, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan. That's going to take place in chapter 3. To go to possess the land which the Lord God giveth you to possess. So anyways, I wrote down some notes here so I can read my own writing. God's in charge of time, et cetera, et cetera. First, just because you're strong, or just because you are a leader, or just because you know you're an older Christian, anything does not mean, I consider Joshua pretty strong, but God is exhorting, be strong of good courage. Be of good courage. What I put down here for my notes is simply that just because you're strong does not mean that you don't need encouragement. There isn't a soul here, including the pastor or myself, that doesn't need to be encouraged. It is crucial. Because I'll tell you what, the world isn't going to encourage you. There isn't a politician alive that could encourage you. There isn't anybody that will encourage you other than your sisters and brothers in Christ. And I thank God, but I'll tell you what, I've been in a lot of different churches speaking, and this church here has about the most lovely, and I've met lovely Christians. This church here has about the most wonderful Christians I could ever know. And I praise God for that. And I praise the leadership that he has. He keeps us together. He keeps us together. So that's important. Anyway. Okay, so exhortation and work. Let's see, verse 7. I put down here, note verse 7. Let me see what I have here. I write wrong. So yeah, be strong and very courageous that thou mayest serve the law according to the law here. According to the law. Don't turn from the left or right. Stick with it. Stick with it. That's exactly what God is telling us here. So we see physical courage. You know what I did? I wrote down, boy, I'm going through this pretty quick. I'm quite proud of myself. I wrote down something. Be strong and of good courage, okay? Et cetera, et cetera. Listen, how many of us are willing to face the enemy under fire? That's why I wanted to go to chapter 5. I wanted to get in that battle. I wanted to see how it was with those people to fight, okay? And how God would do stuff like that. And knock down the walls and do all these things. God doesn't walk. But I looked at all this and I wrote myself a note here. How many of us would go to the battle, would die for Jesus Christ in the end, and yet be afraid while you're reading your Bible if someone comes by and sees you? So they tuck it and put it away. How many of us do that? More courage is crucial. Not only courage to fight the enemy, moral courage is crucial. When I was a new Christian, I'd see someone come by and I had a little New Testament. Put it right there. I didn't want to draw and read the Bible. And it was only one person that caught me and they said, what are you reading anyway? And I said, the Bible. And they went, oh, that's good. You know? See, why do we do that? Why do we do that? You're afraid to give a track out? A lot of people may be afraid of. Why do we do that? We should never be afraid of Jesus Christ. He is not afraid of us. Completely in control. He never disowned us. Give a track. We look at words. He only got a black eye. He told everyone in town he got fighting someone, sure, but no one could tell him. And he says here in verse 9, look at that here a second. I came to try, okay. Be not afraid, neither beat out of dismay. That word dismay is distress. And where can become distress in that time? You've got to be aware of it. Living for the Lord can become distressed at that time. Paul said, we'll try on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed or puzzled, but not in despair. Let's see what else we have. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus, that life also might be manifested in us. And so it's important. I mean, we get distressed at times doing God's work. We do it. Pastor told me I never get distressed. I love it. I'm glad why he's got a lot of people praying for him. Verse 10, look at this. We're not going to get to all the verses. Don't worry about it. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers, saying, I just stopped there, okay? We just did that. Joshua commands people. Have not commanding, God's commanding him. Be strong and of good courage, Joshua. Joshua commands the officers here. And I wrote something this. I wrote something here. It's crucial. And you've got to understand it in times of panic or emergency or battle or anything else. There was one leader. You didn't, it's crucial to understand that. You can't have 10 people in a battle making decisions. So what happens here is God commands Joshua, a few days we're going in. Joshua commands the people. You know, he says, oh, get ready, get all your victuals, get all your food ready, get all your bullets ready, get all your bows and arrows ready, whatever you use for fighting, your spears, your swords, your shield, every single thing. Get ready because we're going in. You see? Now, he didn't ask for counsel. He didn't say, well, if he think that he'd like to do that. He didn't ask for any of it. He gave the command to go in. And what I want to say about that is crucial. In the church, there's authority. You may not like sometimes that authority. But that authority is wrong. Like if I'm wrong, if I was a pastor, this church ranger, if I'm wrong, you correct me. You definitely do that. If you've got something that you want me to learn, I'm more than happy. I'm more than happy. Don't ever get to a place where you think you know it all. You never will. You never will. You never will. God's ways are not our ways. Our thoughts are smart. Anything like that. You never will. So there's authority here. You go and you have a job, you're the authority figure, and do your job. That's it. And there's going to be some that won't like it. Remember Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring or disputing. If the pastor is wrong, and believe me, I don't want it. If the pastor is wrong, he's going to admit it. If you say, like I've done in the past, hey, forgive me, I really messed up. But if he isn't wrong, better listen to it. Support officers in church, in the court, whatever. So it's important. I don't have to tell you folks that, because you listen to him. But I'm just saying, it's important. So that we see here. Look at verse 12 through 18 here. Oh, by the way, pastors should never be a dictator. You should be willing to learn, you should be willing to listen, you should be loving people, and you got that here, and praise God for it. I say you got that here, I got that here, right? Praise God for that. But look at, let's see, I can give you that, but I'm not going to do that. Let's see, okay. 12 to 18, I got that written down, though. Let me just, we'll just skim it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle and everything shall remain in the land. And I'll explain to you, which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, for you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. And the Lord has given your brethren rest as he has given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, etc., etc. And watch this, what they said, those people there that he's just talking with, Joshua from verse 12 on. They said to him this, and they answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest, we will do. That's a different crowd of people here. And whithersoever thou sendest, we will go according as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things. And they, these were a whole new breed of people now, from 18 years old on up. So will we hearken unto thee, only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. They're trusting God here. Whosoever he be, they said, that does not that does rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, or talking to Joshua, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death, only be strong and of good courage. Well, what we've got here now is some people that are encouraging their leadership, encouraging to go out to do the battle that God has called them to do. And it's totally incredible. These people here, he's talking about these 2.5 tribes, were on the eastern side of the Jordan. And they looked it over and said, well, on the western side, Jericho and all that stuff, but I guess we'll settle here on the eastern side. They don't really want to go into the so-called promised land all the way. And so Moses said to them, okay, you can do that. But if there's a fight and if there's a war going to go on, your armed men will be at that war, too. That's all there is to it. Even though there's settled here, that's it. What I want to say is this, that here's the promised land. God has given them everything. These people here, 2.5 tribes, they want to settle on this side of the Jordan when there's really no enemy at that moment. So we want to settle here. There's many people today are settled with going to church on Easter and Christmas. I was one of them years ago. You know that? I was one of them. And I go to church, well, did my deal, and walk out, never think of God for the next 6 months of Christmas came and I went to heaven. That's how a lot of religion is out there. You know something? The only promised land they're going to see is hell. The reason being is because God is not on their mind. They don't want to do the Lord would have to do. They never read the Bible. They never do these things. Now, I'm not saying they have to do that to be saved, but I'll tell you what, if you just do that, you go to church and okay, see you later, God, see you in 6 months or 3 months or 2 months or in a couple of weeks, forget it. What happens is this, is your loyalty really to God, like, let's say these people were to Joshua and to God, where's your loyalty? Christ did it all. He took it all on the cross. And so I looked at that and I said, boy, I mean, these people are a great encouragement, but they don't want to really enter that promised land. I had someone, another pastor, come, well, they do. They still worship God and they still, so, you know, they got some goodness in their heart. They don't even know that they're lost. And that they need Jesus Christ into their life and they must repent of their sins and have a Savior soul. And if they do that, any man or woman be a Christ, we know the verse, they'll become a new creature. All things pass away, all things become new. It's incredible. He changes your life. So there should be some sort of change. There should be. So that's important. Okay, I'm going to finish here and with this. I got a few points. There's a lot to get. Very simple. Number one, God's timing is perfect. Isaiah 41. He who waits upon the Lord shall renew his strength. Mount up with wings of eagles, let it not be weary, you know, whatever, fall not be faint, whatever. The thing is, he who waits upon the Lord shall renew his strength. So God's timing is perfect and everything. This battle and the battles you're going to wait on him. He'll get you through those battles. Whatever they may be, physical, whatever. And that's such a scary thing for a lot of people. Wait on the Lord. Second thing, obedience to God may not be easy. The time may seem so far off. I want the water now. That's how they were, those people, not these people, but the ones before them. I want that water now. But in the end, what God has promised will far exceed what they were waiting for. The younger shadow. Romans 8:18, Paul said, I reckon that the suffering of this time is not, worthy compared with the glory which shall be revealed with us. You suffer here. Pastor says it all the time. This is an invitation. And some of us enjoy it more than others, perhaps, but it isn't grace. This has nothing to do with that, for sure. Three. Don't completely, these are my notes, completely understand it. Don't try to completely understand the battles and the obstacles. Give them to God. Thou shalt keep them in perfect peace. His mind is fixed on thee, for he trusts in thee. Fix your mind on Christ. Now, these people here don't understand what they're about to go into, but they're going to get it. Fourth. In our own strength, we will never defeat the enemy. We will never defeat him. And the biggest enemy is ourselves. The biggest enemy is myself. I yell at myself all the time. I don't like myself sometimes. So, biggest enemy. Now, there's a devil out there. Don't kid yourself there. But in our own strength, we'll never defeat him. We need God. God did not save you or me ever to be defeated.
Amen.
Never. So remember that. You live in a defeated Christian life, with your boots on and your helmet, everything, you're getting ready for combat. Do it. God will give you the go ahead. Support. Lastly, I couldn't repeat that, but today is your wilderness, tomorrow is the land of promise. Right. This is that cool. God has blessed us, the United States, so much, right? Give us land, give us a house, this, gives you that, gives you money and everything. God, he's blessed us here. This isn't happening. Sooner or later, you can find that out with that. It isn't. Just trust him to get you through the battle. And that's it. Okay, so I ran over. Pastor, you ready to come? You're going to get that last step. Let me say this about Joshua while he's coming up here. First Corinthians 1:26-29. For you see your calling, brethren. Joshua is called by God. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his sight. Joshua isn't going to win that battle for him. If we were in chapter 5, I'd show you that. God's going to win that battle for him. Totally. It's all so incredible. So, soldiers, you got your orders here. And y'all brought our attention back up. Pastor, you want to take over.
Truth of Joshua and all the applications that we can find in there that we can use in our lives, especially Lord, the one of knowing that we were not born again to be defeated. We were born again to win the battles. Lord, although we may fight against many principalities and powers, we might fight against the world, but our greatest enemy is ourselves. And you've even given us the power over that. Lord, help us to leave here knowing that the walls of Jericho fell down by your will, and the battles and the walls of Jericho that are in our lives will fall down by your will. All we have to do is wait on you and trust in you for the battle. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is in the red hymn note. We'll stand and sing hymn number 264. 264, Jesus keeping near the cross. 264. We'll sing hymns number 1, number 4.
Jesus keeping near the cross.